One of my favorite guys to talk to is on the Metro PCS hotline, Dave Damashek, NFL Network and NFL.com. He's on the Twitter at Damashek. You can hear his podcast on NFL.com. And, of course, you've got Thursday Night Football. Tonight, Week 7 begins with Seattle and Arizona. Dave, thanks for joining us. Good to talk to you as always. And condolences on your Pittsburgh Pirates. They were fun to watch for a few weeks, though, I got to tell you.
Yeah, that was a fun ride, wasn't it, Yins?
Yes, it was.
I was just advised not to say Yins. I couldn't help myself. Wow. I'm a Pittsburgher at heart.
It's all Pittsburgh stuff. So let's go Dolphins with you right here. What have you seen from this team through five games so far? Obviously, they started off 3-0, and now a couple of losses.
Well, I'll tell you. I just, as a matter of fact, if I may self-promote, I just hung up about an hour ago with your guy Ryan Tannehill, and I think that's pretty much the story of your team is his progress expected. I think a lot of us thought that he would turn the corner this year, and he's looked terrific, I think. And, you know, the question I'm sure you guys have batted around constantly is just what are they going to do about the left tackle spot? It seems a shame that might be what is your downfall, because otherwise that team has come a long way in 2 years.
Yeah, I think that's what the issue is with this whole team, because we haven't been, and also on defense, that we had a lot of guys that have been injured, a defense that we thought could probably be a top five, top ten defense, has been battling injuries with some key players the whole season so far.
Yeah, that's pretty much the story. But, you know, listen, that win down there in Miami against Atlanta really opened everybody's eyes there. And I think, you know, that whatever happens in 2013, I think you guys have a lot of cause for optimism there. You're better settled, I think, than the Bills or the Jets are, even though they have two guys who look like they might be good young quarterbacks going forward here. I think you guys have a guy who, in fact, I got in a little bit of argument here and got beaten up a bit by some of the guys I work with at the NFL when I said, you know, among the 2011 and 2012, this golden era of young QBs coming into the league, I said I would probably, you know, I would take Andrew Luck number one, but after that, I think I would take Tannehill over just about any of the other guys. And people got crazy. How could you say that about Russell Wilson or Colin Kaepernick or Cam Newton? Listen, this guy, and we're just now starting to see it over the last 2 weeks, even in the game against the Saints that got away from you a little bit, what you saw is the return of the pistol a little bit. Nobody's running that with to great effect so far this year, but, you know, let's not sleep on the fact. Ryan Tannehill himself and Brian Hartline, when I talked to him last week, both are quick to say, hey, Ryan's not a wide receiver. He's a quarterback. Yeah, but he's still got wheels, and you guys should be taking advantage of that. And it seems like Philbin and company are starting to bring that into the offense more and more.
Dave, when you look at this upcoming game and you look at the Buffalo Bills, they're 2-4 record. You know, they're tough defensively. They have a defense that has 21 sacks, and you have Mario Williams who has a quarter of those sacks. And you have a young linebacker who is manning the middle. But you also, on the offensive side, you have two outstanding running backs that can definitely control the running game. How do you see the Miami Dolphins defending the run? And then how do you see the defense going against the Miami Dolphins? I mean, the Bills defense going against the Miami Dolphin offense?
Well, what's amazing, that's one of the more surprising stats that I've seen in the last few days, is that the Bills are one of only two NFL teams to have scored in the 20s in every game so far this season. So I think we sort of look at E.J. Manuel, he's a rookie, he's been banged up a little bit, the Bills have been a little bit of a punchline over the last few years, but the fact of the matter is, like you say, they have weapons all over the field. It's been, you know, it was Stevie Johnson was the one consistent pass catcher for them. They now have legit weapons there. They're going to be that's a tough offense. And in the short term, I do like the Dolphins defense a lot. I also like that Bills defense a lot. I'll tell you, as an objective fan, I'm looking forward to it, because I'm not just saying this because I'm talking to Dolphins people. The Patriots story is an interesting one, but all right, enough already. We've had the Belichick and Tom Brady story. We've heard that one for a decade. I'm excited that it looks to me like the Dolphins are going to be a legitimate player now in the AFC for the next few years, and maybe the Bills are going to join them too. And that makes things a lot more fun. back when I was growing up, I remember watching Joe Cribbs and Dan Marino and all those guys. And well, I don't want to make you feel old, but OJ McDuffie.
I knew that was coming.
Dave Damischek.
I was cheering against you, OJ, when you were wearing that navy and white in Penn State because I was a Pitt loyalist.
Oh, that's too bad, dog.
We'll get Kenjemi on the phone with you afterwards. You guys can relive the glory days. The Patriots, you mentioned them. Dave Damischek, by the way, is with us. Twitter at Damischek. I like that, by the way. Yeah. It's almost a Madonna thing. You just go last name. That's all you need.
That's it. There's only a rare few of us who can pull off the one name.
Yeah, and you do it. You mentioned New England. How vulnerable do you think they are? And I don't just mean 2013. I think in the immediate future, this year, next year, very vulnerable, moderately vulnerable, a little vulnerable, taking into account everything you just said about the Dolphins and the Bills and the state of the Patriots themselves.
Yeah, I think there's a real chance specifically. There's a long way to go yet, of course. But I feel like, and I said this after week one, the Dolphins have to feel a little frustrated because there's not a ton of room for error. They get the win in week one, the Dolphins do, and the Bills almost beat the Patriots. I wonder if that one's going to come back and you guys are going to be circling that one and saying, what if the Bills would have pulled that upset off there and knocked them down? That might be the difference between you guys getting the division and not. Obviously beat them head-to-head, though, and you know, it's very realistic that you guys can catch them as soon as this year. Listen, that defense... Yeah, it's an interesting trajectory that this Patriots run has had. I've ceased calling it a dynasty because when you don't win a Super Bowl for just about a decade, I don't know how anybody can continue to call it that. But anyway, you know, when they were winning those three rings, people sort of forget the fact it was McGinnis and Brewski and Rodney Harrison later on. It was that defense played a major role, especially in the first one, in the Patriots getting that. As that defense faded away and Belichick continued to be touted as a defensive guru in spite of never having a very good defense, you know, the offense carried the load. Now, as the offense has now returned to earth this season, the defense has stepped up. However, now that you have Mayo and Wilfork out, I think that becomes a very mortal unit as well. So to answer your question, I think that if I have to choose who's going to win the division, I'll take the Patriots, but I will absolutely not be surprised if you can take care of them as soon as this season.
Dave, do you really see a lot of the teams in the AFC East closing the gap with the Patriots, especially with a lot of the offseason moves that the Dolphins made? And do you kind of see the division, especially with the young and upcoming talent in this division, do you kind of see it going back to the days of old when the old Indianapolis Colts were in our division and the Jets and the Dolphins and the Bills and all those guys beating each other up for the top of the division?
Yeah, like I said, I mean, I loved I loved growing up watching the AFC East. I were, you know, Tony Eason, like I say, versus Ken O'Brien versus Marino and so on. Yeah, that was a fun AFC East to watch week in and week out. And yeah, like I say, I definitely think the Dolphins at least, and I think that you have to give a lot of credit to Ireland, you know, as one of the guys I work with said, you know, you had to, even in the off season, you had to tip your hat to him because if he was going down, he was going down with guns blazing. You know, he really pulled out all the stops and brought in some big name guys. And, yeah, you know, I think, you know, whatever happens with him, and I think that Philbin is, while he is not Vince Lombardi or Newt Rockne with the speeches, it would seem he seems to be 180 degrees away from that sort of thing. I like what he's about. I think he's a smart guy whose way and his organization is going to serve the Dolphins well over the next handful of years here. And like we say, the Bills, here they come. How many more times do we have to be fooled by the idea that the old school mentality that a quarterback can't come in and succeed immediately? E.J. Manuel is debunking that. Tannehill did it a year ago. And I'm not as sold on Geno Smith and in general on the Jets. That organization seems a mess. I would not be surprised if Rex Ryan is coaching in Oakland at this time next year. On the other hand, they have a winning record right now. And, you know, who knows, maybe maybe Rex Ryan will be the toast of New York, which makes for an even tougher AFC East. The question mark going forward is, really, it's funny to think, is the Patriots. What's going to be? Tom Brady is now by football standards, an old man, you know, and he, what he's doing this year is very much like what LeBron did when he was in Cleveland. You know, I mean, that was a bunch of nobodies around him, and he's really elevated them. But, the schedule's been a little soft, and I'll be interested to see if they can keep this role going with those two big defensive players there. Going forward, who's the least talented team? Think about it. If you obviously the quarterback spot is the most significant, but assuming that Tom Brady only can play at this level for another year or two, who has the worst talent out of the four teams in the East? It's the Patriots, easily, you would think.
Hey, before we let you get out of here, I want to ask you one more question. I want to talk about Peyton Manning back to Indianapolis this weekend, your thoughts, the whole words that are going back between him and – not words going back and forth because Peyton's not a guy that's going to go back and forth, but what Jim Irsay said and Peyton going back and basically having Peyton Manning Day. What do you think about everything that's going on between this little – you know, the former love? They loved each other for so long.
Well, you know, the thing I think is weird is – so many people in the media are so curmudgeonly that they refuse to acknowledge that they won't cash in on the little bit of fun, the WWE-style fun that Jim Irsay has delivered for all of us to enjoy in the run-up to this game. Otherwise, it's an interesting game. Now it's fascinating to see what Peyton has to say. These people, though, who say, this is a non-story. Why is anybody even talking about this? Jim Irsay was taken out of context. Was he really? Let's look at the two possible narratives here for Jim Irsay. One is that he's a loose cannon who shoots his mouth off and now has to backtrack. So he shot his mouth off and said something that he shouldn't have said in the heat of a week that is leading up to the questions. I mean, he's a human being. Imagine. The questions that he's been getting now in the last few days are all about, do you think you'd rather still have Peyton Manning now? You see how well he's doing there. Do you think you made a mistake taking Andrew Luck? He's got a chip on his shoulder, so he's responding by saying, no, 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 Peyton never won it. Now he's backtracking because he's getting too much heat. Or is the other narrative, he is the man at the top of a team that is 1/32nd of one of the most successful corporations on the face of the earth, and he's cagey enough. Do you think he just slipped, those words just slipped out? He was asked about Andrew Luck, and somehow that turns into a statement about Peyton Manning's inability to win in the first round. But, oh, we're supposed to take that as, oh, no, no, I was complimenting Peyton. I was really saying something about defense. Wake up, everybody. Let's enjoy this. What I do think is going to happen, though, the bottom line is, if it were January, I would say it's another thing. In the regular season, nobody's a better regular season quarterback than Peyton Manning. I think he might hang, you know, I don't know what, 8, 12, 15 touchdown passes on those goals.
Oh, man.
As many as he can get, that's how many he's going to take advantage of. He's not going to take the foot off the gas, that's for sure. I do think he's going to go out there and have a big game. I bet you legitimately, you know, 4 or 5 touchdown passes.
That might be what has to happen in order to make the game itself as entertaining as the lead-up to the game these last couple of days. Dave Damashek is with us. He's on Twitter at Damashek. His football program podcast is available, of course, at NFL.com. Thursday Night Football tonight on NFL Network. Coverage already underway. Seattle, Arizona, really, really quickly so we can let you go and get back to your life. What does Arizona have to do to have a shot in this game tonight, you think?
Well, it's really one of the quieter, nice stories early in the season. You know, Bruce Arians goes from the aforementioned Colts. He essentially was their head coach last year for a long stretch at least, and then goes down to Arizona. Does anybody realize that team's 3-3? It's kind of, with a legit win against a good Lions team on the resume so far. It wouldn't shock me for them to beat the Seahawks, who are, I think it's a little bit of a myth at this point to say that the Seahawks are a bad road team, but they're not certainly as unbeatable, and, you know, they're mighty in the, when they play in Seattle, you know, and in fact, that's an interesting conversation is, if Seattle gets the number one seed, does anybody in the NFC have a chance of going up there in January and knocking them off? But as it is, you know, I think the Cardinals have a real shot at them. The killer for them is probably going to be that Calais Campbell, if he is in there, isn't going to be right. Otherwise, you know, listen, I like they have a lot of talent. People don't talk about the pieces that they throw out there on defense outside of Patrick Peterson. People like talking about the guy who's super fast, and they like talking Honey Badger. But, you know, they have legitimate players on that defense, and they have Larry Fitzgerald, of course, on offense. And you know, Carson Palmer's pick sixes notwithstanding, he's definitely an upgrade from what they've had. I'm not going to be stunned if the Cardinals steal this one.
All right, there you go. We'll be able to watch it tonight. He mentioned Calais Campbell. Even Damashek knows it's all about the U. Canes, of course, also playing tonight. Hey, man, always appreciate it. Good to catch up with you and enjoy Thursday Night Football tonight. And we'll look for the conversation with Tannehill soon.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, yeah, the Tannehill conversation will be up there on the podcast Friday morning, so be on the lookout for that. Appreciate it. And as an objective, longtime football fan, like I say, fellas, I'm happy to see the Dolphins returning to relevance here. And, you know, the only thing, I've said it before, let me just tell you something, guys. The new uniforms look good, but why not the helmet on the Dolphins? We're so worried about the concussion issue. Then why is the Dolphin not wearing his helmet?
He's tough. That's how tough he is. I mean, look, you and I.
Now that's funny.
We fall in the same place when it comes to the Dolphins helmet. I always liked it, but it never made sense, and I think that's what people say. And the people that hate it, they say it doesn't make sense. Plus the M, everybody knows it's not an actual part of the logo itself.
Concussions.
I'm with you, Dave.
The M is, well, that's the thing, right? The M on the old helmet. The Dolphin was wearing a helmet that had, and the helmet had an M on it. What team is that Dolphin on? He's not on the Miami Dolphins because they don't wear an M on their hat.
That was always the beautiful thing. It was one of those things that happened in the mid-60s that would never happen today, and they've taken it from us. Goodbye, sweet helmet.
It makes me a little sad, and I'm glad that you and I park our cars in the same garage on that subject, but I love it, and I hope you guys get to the playoffs, and I love... Oh, one more question. Let me throw a question at you.
Yeah.
We had a little kerfuffle between two Ohio State Buckeyes.
I saw that on your Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, well, we had A.J. Hawk of the Packers, of course, on one of our favorites, and, you know, when Hartline was in with us, he mentioned, I asked him, I said, A.J. Hawk's a funny guy. And he said, he is? A.J. Hawk? So I couldn't help myself. I had to ask Hawk about that. He responded by taking a shot at Hartline's goatee, which he said makes him look like a 40-year-old father of four. So I mean, what's your opinion? Oh, and then I asked Tannehill. Tannehill is not a fan of the goatee either. How say you guys?
Well, there's a good tease for tomorrow. I don't really have a strong opinion on the goatee, but if we are talking about the looks of Dolphin players, did you see the picture that Incognito tweeted today from, like, fifth grade?
Oh, no, but my next stop now is the laptop to see it.
Check it out. You check out Richie's picture. He did Throwback Thursday. Mm. It's like his class photo from when he's 10 or something like that, and it's about as early 90s as it gets.
Oh, I look forward to looking at that one, man. That sounds grand.
All right, we'll send it your way. Appreciate it as always, Dave.
Sure thing, fellas. Take good care.
You too.
Thanks, Dave.
Dave Damashek, NFL.com, NFL Network. I could just sit there and talk to him for like an hour, and it would be a
good stuff.
It would be a thing. So, yeah, check out podcast tomorrow. That's good to know. That's some good intel. He's got Tannehill on the podcast. Damashek's one of those guys. He's got the personality. He kind of gets a guy to sort of talk and
open
have a relaxed
a little
conversation.
Bit, huh?
Yeah. So look forward to hearing what he gets out of Ryan. Dave was on the Metro PCS hotline for unlimited access to all interviews on the Metro PCS hotline. Visit thefinsiders.com.